How you doing?
Hey.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
Another day of downward trend for hospitalizations due to coronavirus. I really should read this stuff out loud before I do it on the air.
I like it.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. So hospitalizations down again. That is a good sign. Let's keep it going.
Yep.
Yay.
Don't be dummy.
Yep.
States starting to send out the $600 unemployment stimulus supplement checks from the feds.
Cool.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Another good sign.
Money, 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 money.
And I read somewhere that a car dealership in Madison is opening. So that's really another great sign.
Yep.
Right? Things are starting to crack open slowly. Little update on Young Chess. He got the call yesterday to go in. He is supposed to be reporting in right now at 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
He's an EMT for AMR. You're heading in for a 2 to 4 week deployment in New York City to help those folks out. And I guess he got a call or a text midnight last night. It's been delayed.
Oh.
So we don't know why yet. I'm sure whatever the reason. I will not be able to talk about it on the air. But
okay.
He'll be going in at some point. He's like on deck.
Yep.
You know? So how many masks were handed out yesterday? Does AJ know?
Hello?
Because it's masking like a son of a gun here in Hartford.
Hello?
Masks for Connecticut, started by Bob Stefanski, joined forces with the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, PLR, The Fox, Channel 3, Live Nation, Last Barking, Hartford Police, Pratt & Whitney, United Concrete, all to give out free face masks yesterday at Xfinity Theater in Hartford. And what a hit that was. It was supposed to start at 7 a.m. People started lining up at 4:15. And by 6:10, 6:15, the cop said, yeah, you better start it right now.
Let it roll.
The traffic is backing up.
Let it rip.
Bob Stefanski is on the phone right now. Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, good morning, guys. The police said it was more traffic than when there's a concert or a show.
Wow.
They said it's the worst traffic they've ever seen.
I was going to ask you about that because it sounded worse than a concert. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had the drone up there. WFSB has this drone, and it was all the way backed up into Hartford. You got off the highway, and you immediately hit the line of cars, but we got about 40,000 masks out there. We lasted the day. We were a little bit afraid we were going to run out, but we made it till 1 o'clock. We had a few masks to spare, and there are a lot of happy people.
I'm surprised that there's masks to spare.
You know, you can only get so many people through. We were counting. You only get about 1,000 through per hour. So
1,000 an hour.
That's still good.
Yeah.
A lot of cars.
That is a lot. So
yeah, we had two lines going.
So you get 1,000 cars, and that's 5 masks per car.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. 8,000 cars got through. Yeah, so 1,000. I can't run the math. I'm
yeah.
7 to 1 is how many hours?
It's 5. Early.
Did a lot
maybe
yesterday.
It's a few more, but it was 8,000 cars. 5 masks per vehicle. That's 40,000 masks we handed out, which is amazing.
It's amazing. What do you do with the other 10,000? You have more events, right?
Yeah, we're gonna
just keep going
to do one in Hartford. I was on with your manager yesterday. We're trying to figure out a good location. We're hoping to do one in New Haven.
New Haven.
I'd love to do one in New Haven. Yeah,
New Haven would be. You thought Hartford was busy?
Seriously,
this is our neck of the woods here.
Yep,
it'd be very busy.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to find a location where people can walk to as well, because there's a lot of people that don't have car access, and we get those calls. Amy gets a lot of them. We've been mailing them to people, but we'd like to find an area where people could walk up as well.
It's an interesting concept. Yeah.
I think we'll use your house.
Okay.
Use your backyard.
Oh, yeah, bring them to the project house.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have more than 100 volunteers. How did all that happen?
We had about 250 volunteers on Sunday at the Jewish Federation. You've got to put them in the bag so they don't come that way. So we asked for volunteers to take them out of the crate, you know, sort them into 5 and put them in a plastic bag. We had a traffic jam getting into the volunteer day.
Wow.
We had 250 people. So a lot of people, they're just looking to do something, right?
Right.
They may not have a lot of money right now, but they feel fortunate that they haven't gotten the virus, and they want to help, and they want to get out of the house.
Yeah.
So it's been very, very interesting to see how people react in a crisis. You do see the good side of people. coming out. People taking days off from work and everything.
The stories that were coming in yesterday on the phone from folks who are waiting in line, like Joyce. She lives in Hartford. She was picking up masks for her 97-year-old dad, and she's afraid for him.
Yeah. One woman drove up in a van. I said, "How you doing?" She said, "My kids are at home." She had five kids. I said, "Why is that?" She said, "They refuse to go outside. They're afraid to go outside. And not, you know, just run around in the backyard. They won't do it." She said, "You can't. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this because they're afraid, and you're helping my kids be left afraid, and that's a pretty good thing to do."
Think about if you have a kid with, you know, asthma or allergies or whatever, even though, you know, this thing seems to be affecting upper end folks in terms of age. Yeah. You know, as a parent, you know, you can't, it's like, I don't want to find out.
You can't take a chance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy drove, this is the last story I'll tell you. Another, he was a Vietnam vet. He was probably in his 80s. You know, it was an older car, and he had been in line for an hour. And just as he got his mask, he ran out of gas.
Oh.
So we went around the corner. We got a little gas tank, and we filled it up for him. And his daughter was in the passenger side of the car, and she was literally crying. He said her dad called her last night and said, "We need to go get a mask." She was like, "Dad, you really shouldn't go out." He said, "I need a mask." So he actually drove. You know, the old man drove, and she was sitting in the passenger seat. But I could go on for hours with the stories. It's kind of like your toy drive. You know, you get home, you're exhausted, but you know you did something good that day. That's how it felt yesterday.
Yeah, it's in story after story. And if you, if anyone ever had any question as to whether or not we need masks, yesterday was the big capital letters yes.
Yep, there's a proof right there.
There's a big demand for it out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know how you have those surreal moments? You know, I'm sitting in my truck. I was on the radio with somebody, and I look out.
Wait, what?
Lines of volunteers.
You're on the radio with somebody?
Yeah, PLR, of course.
Okay, very good.
lines of cars of masks.
It's okay if you fib on that one.
And, you know, and I'm getting quicker with you, I've learned. And then 2-mile delay to get in. It's like, what world are we living in? It's just, it's surreal sometimes with what we're going through.
I saw, and you know, there's always a few when, you know, you help 40,000 or you hand out 40,000 masks, there's going to be a few people who were frustrated because of the traffic. And it's just the nature of the beast. And we apologize to anyone who drove there and then got turned away by the police. It was just overwhelming.
It was bedlam, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't turn anyone away. Everybody who was willing to wait. But I got home last night. I don't know how she got my number, but I got this older woman. She said, "You know, you're not doing enough for the disabled." And that's true, too. I said, "Let me get your address. We'll mail you one out right now." We stuffed 5 masks in an envelope, and we got them out. So I'm just glad we could help. It's hard to get to everybody.
Yeah, you know,
it is.
You can't do everything. But
you're a personal, you know. you're a private citizen.
Yeah.
So you,
well, you know.
You know,
I wanted to say to her, "Where's the state?" And I'm trying not to make this partisan.
I think you've done a great job.
That
with
shows
that.
Class, yeah.
And,
think when it's all over, there should be some analysis of what really happened here. But now's not the time.
Right, plenty of time for that.
When the dust
How
settles,
much money have you and Amy personally put into this?
Well, by the end of the week, we're going to have done 1 million masks. And they're 75 cents each, and we've done about half of them, so you can run the numbers. But that Porsche I wanted to buy someday is probably not going to happen.
Is that Bob still with the cardboard sign?
He's going to be driving that pickup for a while.
Is that Bob?
I can't stop Amy. Every time the garage, we got him in the garage, and every time the supply gets low, she gives me the look. I'm like, all right, I'm getting my truck down to Brooklyn again.
Yeah, you guys are good people. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. You know,
you guys promoted it all morning. I had a ton of people come up to me say you were promoting it constantly, so thank you for that.
Well, listen, people call or email or Facebook, and they're saying to us, "Thank you for doing this." I'm like,
you know,
we kind of showed up to take the picture.
Right, exactly, right.
You know, okay, you've been doing all the work and the investing and grabbing the sponsors and all this. So if folks are listening and they want to either volunteer or donate money, MaskForCT.org,
Mask
right?
MaskForCT.org. Again, we're trying to do another one, so if people do want to contribute, it'll go to a good cause.
All right, excellent. Bob Stefanowski, thank you. Tell Amy we said hey.
I will. Thank you for all your support.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
He sent me a text yesterday. Hey, thanks for coming. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Who is this?
And then I would have loved to get AJ's reaction to someone calling him after he's done all of this work and investment of private money, and someone calls and says, hey, you know, you're not doing enough for this group.
Right. Drives me nuts.
Right.
Absolutely drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. No, AJ's not good with the Facebook comments.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm pretty cut you off the knees.
Yeah. So here's proof of politicians doing the dumbest things. On Monday, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear ripped people for filing fake unemployment claims and cited a case where someone used the name Tupac Shakur. It turned out there's actually a guy in Kentucky named Tupac Shakur.
Oops.
And he's been waiting on his check for over a month. Here's what the governor said on Monday night. He ended up calling the guy to later apologize. So this is the governor?
Yeah.
Just the governor.
Right.
And this is the initial shaming of people.
Yep. I'm under it.
A couple of bad apples can make this challenge that much more difficult. For instance, we had somebody apply for unemployment for Tupac Shakur here in Kentucky. And that person probably thought they were being funny, except for the fact that because of them, we've got to go through so many other claims that one person thinking that they were funny, using somebody else's identity, is going to make tens of thousands, potentially, of other people wait. It's not okay.
Well, I feel bad for gymnastics.
Budweiser.
And Rufus Leakey, yes. Claude Bowles.
Who was it? Brian Johnson's. Oh, yeah, it was Harry Johnson.
Harry Johnson,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Harry Johnson. Harry Johnson, looking for my unemployment check.
Sure, you're Harry Johnson.
This guy tried to use the name Dick Butkus. Like, we're not going to catch that one?
Hello? Right.
Come on.
People in Illinois are working to understand a new social distancing restriction regarding how many people can be in a boat. Governor Pritzker says the number is 2, regardless of who they are. Now, you're going to hear an edited news report. So you'll hear the governor, and then you'll hear a woman.
It is restricted to 2 people per boat. It's not, you can't have 5 people or 10 people in a boat. And that it is restricted to 2, but not necessarily restricted as to whether they're related to one another.
It is a family of 4 or 5, like husband, wife, and kids. They're going to have to pick 2 of them at a time.
They would, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a reporter. Okay. So you have a bunch of kids, you can't go out on a boat with them? You're in the house with them. You're sitting around the table with them. How does that make any sense?
Right. Well, if they're in that little tube in the back, you're pulling with the boat.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. Maybe a tubing.
Put you in the boat and then the rest of you out in a tube.
All right, technically, that's their own watercraft.
Or a dinghy.
Granny, hold on as tight as you can.
Right.
Let's duct tape Granny.
Make that arthritis work for you, Granny.
Oh, wait. Granny's tube is upside down. How long has that been upside down? What should AJ do?
Hello?
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 He's going to do it for 24 hours. He's going to raise money for Mass for CTC. He's always doing good.
I want to raise a lot of money. I really do. I want a lot of masks.
I'd like that, too.
You know?
That'd be great. So some of the suggestions, shock collar.
Right.
Reading children's stories. Stationary bike. We got children's stories. And then an exercise video.
Right, and also watch the children YouTube channel.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Derek in Waterbury.
Hey, good morning, all.
Good morning.
I think AJ should give back to the community, to the nurses that are on the front lines, and rub their feet. Like, take a half an hour so you can do 48 nurses while reading children's stories.
This has to be done in studio.
Right. We'd have to schedule the nurses to come in, and then we're exposing him and exposing the nurses
to
potential problems.
If they get tested, it'd be something given back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The torture in AJ
yeah.
as much. You give something back.
I think he'd be into it. I think we start with the nicest
feet.
Well,
you have to throw some male nurses in there, too, though.
Hell no. It's true. They're on their feet all day.
Hey, your first exercise in your exercise video was toe touches. So here we go. We're giving it to you.
I don't think he should get a choice because that's something that he wants to do. And we're trying to torture him a little bit. And if he agrees to it, it's probably not a good idea.
Oh my God! And then we could pledge per foot,
per toe,
per toe.
You know, your hands cramp up after a while. Just let me know that.
Yeah,
but you get a break.
I think we'd have to exercise.
Won't you think your feet, your legs are going to tire out?
And think about all the lotion that you'd have, right? Like everybody's hands are dry from all the washing and the Purelling.
What is wrong with Phil? Exactly. Who goes there?
We'd have to start. The big tune-in factor would be you have to start with nice feet, and then progressively they get worse.
Into that one nurse.
Right. Those feet that you see on the internet.
Nurse
you
Grammy.
Think, oh, my God.
Right, where I'm actually pumicing my hands.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I discriminate, but I guess you'd start with the younger people, and then the older ones.
Right.
Because we all our feet, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
The older and the less cared for.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. All right. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it.
You're a cool man, Derek.
Joanne in Bridgeport.
Okay. We missed the comedy clubs. We could use a 24-hour comedy marathon.
We talked about this, too. 24 hours of AJ telling jokes.
Yeah. I only have like
And I like her tie-in. The comedy clubs are closed.
Right. Yeah, I only have 30 minutes of material, so.
Well, you would just tell jokes.
Right.
Somebody suggested, I think on Facebook, or sent me an email. Knock-knock jokes.
Right. I need a knock-knock. I need a knock-knock joke book.
Yeah. How many knock-knock jokes do you know?
Oh, God. I haven't told those in years. I can't.
All right, go ahead.
Let's see. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
I know who? This one.
Does it keep going?
Knock, knock.
Yes.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you let him say banana?
Yeah, yeah,
Sorry, right, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, okay. It made Ashley laugh. There's your gauge.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Miss Fairy Tale books in a bookcase.
All right, thank you, Joanne.
You really delivered on it. Good job.
Jim in the truck.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I'm not sure anymore. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
All right.
Hey, I'm going to say get one of those big, thick Webster dictionaries and have them start at A.
Oh, what? Read a dictionary?
You got it.
I'm supposed to stay awake for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Well, out loud.
But it's time for you to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough about this. Everyone's calling up with great ideas. And I thank you, Jim. I thought, we'll have this nailed down by 6:45, and then we'll start the process of putting it together.
Right.
And the good ideas are coming in, and
now
I'm scratching my head.
Right, I'm scratching lower, but good. Yeah. My belly.
Jackie in North Haven, been holding for 20 minutes.
Ooh.
Hey, Jackie.
Good morning. I love BLR. I love you guys.
Thank you. Right back
love
at
you.
You.
Okay, my grandmother could never do this, so... This should kind of probably be no problem for AJ.
Okay.
Since he fumbles so much, my grandmother, I remember her as, she always had a white wig on, she always had a stupid dress on, she was always in a rocking chair, and she tried to read tongue twisters.
This has been brought up,
that
too.
That was mentioned on Facebook, tongue
Ooh,
twisters.
Ooh, I like the tongue twisters.
And because he fumbles so much, which it was pretty funny, too, I think it would be kind of really funny for him to be in a rocking chair, looking like my grandmother.
Why does everyone want me to dress up?
Because it's awesome.
We know you like it.
But trying to do tongue twisters.
Because
you have
twisters.
A difficult time with the English language anyway.
Thank you for noticing. This would be the real feel-good part of the show, wouldn't it?
I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like, I think would...
You know, it'd be
really
funny if he was trying to read tongue twisters and...
And it came out right?
He could get through those no problem.
Everything came out
I ace it, yeah.
Can we try that?
That'd be amazing.
All right, thank you, Jackie. How would we do that? Can you you'd have to pull them up, right? Because if Phil reads them to you, then...
Yeah, I'll just repeat them back verbatim, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to pull some up.
One of the ideas that came in was you on the static bike, right? The stationary bike.
Yes.
And then once an hour, you have to read tongue twisters. And everyone would pledge per mile.
Right.
And if you get through the tongue twisters, we add a mile onto your final total.
Nice.
If you don't... I don't know. Haven't worked that one out all the way yet.
Just.
Yeah, I was going to say we deduct, but then we lose money.
Exactly right. The whole point is
maybe,
to raise money.
Maybe it's got to be the other way. I don't know.
When would it be the tongue twisters like every half hour?
No, like I said, once an hour.
Once an hour. So just one an hour?
No, a list.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any, Phil?
I pulled some up. 50 tongue twisters to improve pronunciation in English.
Wow.
Dang!
All right, I'll work on them, too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Me? The first one?
Yes, you!
Yes!
Okay. Oh, I don't know. I can't see anybody. Okay, the first one is, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Where's the peck the pickled peppers Peter Piper picked?
Sounds like a bird
okay,
dying.
Getting back in the car, miss. You're coming downtown.
Yeah, really. Yes. Now stand on one leg. Count to 30.
Selfish shellfish.
Selfish shellfish.
Say that through. You get to say it like three times fast.
Selfish shellfish, selfish shellfish, selfish shellfish.
This is a good idea.
Yeah, this could be fun.
How can a clam cram in a clean cram can? How can a clam cram in a clean cream can?
Even when you get it right, it sounds like you didn't.
I think you'd have a big tune-in factor every hour. People would tune in to see. I know I would.
You need the spit guard.
You know, like at the top of the hour, you do 5 minutes of... this. So, one, you get to take a break on the bike. Oh, you know what would be fun?
What's that?
If he gets through the list, he gets to take a break.
Cool.
Oh, I like that.
And if I don't get a look, what, did I just pee on the floor here?
Jazz and AJ News.
Can dogs get coronavirus?
What?
We may have our first case. CDC weighs in. We have that coming up.
No.
First, when will Connecticut reopen? Michael Frieda, First Selectman, North Haven, on the show now. He's been invited by Governor Lamont to serve on the community committee to reopen Connecticut.
Wow.
Good morning.
Great to be here, Chaz and AJ.
What's the timeline to open Connecticut?
Well, on May 20th, that's the target date to introduce a concept to allow, I believe, a gradual reopening. May 20th is not to be associated with reopening Connecticut. It's the date to determine how we're going to gradually reopen.
Isn't that bananas if the numbers keep going down? Shouldn't we be like mid-May, the 10th, the 12th?
Like playing by ear?
Yes. You know, this committee that I'm on and other committees that are formulated by the governor, May 3rd is our first date for a report, and by May 8th or May 10th, our report should be completed to submit to the governor's office. And then on May 20th, there'll be some kind of announcement.
What are you feeling in North Haven?
Right now, as of this morning, there's 180 corona laboratory confirmed infections with 9 fatalities. So in North Haven, Chaz, we're at the peak. We've seen a gradual increase every day. So what I'm looking to do is examine when the peak starts to subside.
Yeah, I'm not promoting one thing or another, but May 20th to announce how we'll do it seems like a long way away.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's about three and a half weeks away. And even within our communities right now, we're finding that Memorial Day parades are being canceled. We're trying to make adjustments and maybe have small ceremonies on the green.
Yeah.
It's been a challenging time. There's no question about that.
No, but let's think about this now. May 20th, they come out with the plan. Right. And let's say you're a restaurant and you get your plan on May 20th.
Right.
Well, how's that? You know, how much time are you going to need to put the plan together? I don't know. It seems like the plan could be announced before then. Right. And we all know school's not getting back in, right?
Yeah, they have.
You know it. I know it. The governor knows it. Parents know it.
It's a waste.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge to reopen schools. I would agree with you on that. And we're all involved with this distance learning right now in our communities, and that has had some challenges itself.
Let's just say you're the governor. How would you roll this out? What would you do?
Well, I would, and this is partly what we're doing on one of the several committees that I'm on. There's also a business community, by the way, an education community. And this
48 people
yep.
on the committee. That doesn't include the mayors and first selectmen like yourself. That's a whole different community
yes.
Organization. So it's over 48 people, probably closer to 100 in Connecticut. And then we're working in conjunction with New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and probably someone else, Massachusetts. So it's a lot of people.
Yeah, and as part of that large group, it's a very disciplined approach, at least with the community committee I'm on. We have specific time frames. These meetings are one-hour meetings. They're Zoom meetings. All of us have input. We have homework assignments. Last night I sent in my homework assignment, and what I believe is going to happen is that the broad spectrum of these membership communities, what will happen is it's gradually being funneled down into a final report somewhere around May 8th or May 9th, and no later than May 10th.
Okay. Does that seem to make sense to you?
Well, these are the rules and guidelines we're working with, so I've accepted it. Our own community is addressing the needs of Connecticut's most vulnerable population. That includes people in nursing homes, people over 65.
Well, what a nightmare that's turned out to be,
yep.
the nursing homes.
39%, Chaz, of all of the fatalities as of April 14th or 15th were in nursing homes.
It's just a horrible way to die when you're sitting there just waiting for it to arrive, you know?
With no family visitations, and the psychological aspect of that demise is very, very disheartening.
Well, it sounds like this whole deal with the business communities and the committees or whatever, it sounds organized. What was your homework?
My homework assignment was how to develop a reentry strategy that encompassed six different areas for the most vulnerable population, how to access food, how to access health care in terms of the delivery of home medications. How do we address the mental and physical aspect of those people who have mental health illnesses and those that are in need of temporary housing? And we had to...
Wow, AJ, you made the list.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. That sounds pretty organized. I hate homework.
Yeah. Did you do it early?
I remember I'd get to the end of the day, I'd have no homework, and then that last teacher...
Bam. Yeah, pile it all on.
I had my day planned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, all ruined.
Exactly.
Yep. So everything else okay?
Yeah, we're doing fine. You know, in local government, I said to many of my colleagues across the state that the dynamics of the job have changed during this pandemic. It's not the typical call we would get about a drainage issue or a pothole. We're seeing calls out of despair now, people calling, needing help. They can't get answers. People with health issues, mental health issues, anxiety issues. And the nature of the role, at least during this time frame, has changed dramatically. And it's a good example of how all of us, as people, business people, politicians, government people, at times during our careers, we have to be able to make very swift adjustments and take on different roles and redefine ourselves, and that's kind of what we're doing now in local government.
Since there's no baseball, we got to get you back to do a baseball segment with us.
Yeah, you know, my career, as I was telling Phil earlier when I dialed in, or when he dialed me up, I started my first appearance on your show. I lost a fundraising bet with the mayors across the area, and the next thing that happened to me, I was seen wearing a red dress, a blonde wig, and spike heels at the Savin Rock Boardwalk.
Yep.
Yep.
And you accessorized, too. You had a nice matching bag.
Well done.
AJ remembers all of this.
Yep. Because I was in shock.
As it burnt into his head, exactly what Mike was wearing.
I just gave him that number.
AJ was like, well, I like how that purse matches the dress. Very well done.
Great fashion. Yeah.
That is an odd detail to hold on to.
Taking notes.
I couldn't even. Gentlemen, I just knew that he wore a red dress.
You actually held me to that commitment because 2 or 3 weeks after that, there was a snippet that was played. I will wear that red dress if I lose this bet.
That's right.
It's now your ringtone, yeah.
We played it every 5 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
People were walking up to Mike at events. I will wear that red dress.
And he's like, you too?
So, Mike, we appreciate you coming on, and nice job as first selectman in North Haven, and keep us posted on this.
Thank you, and call me anytime. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, you're going to regret saying that. Seriously, thank you, Mike. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. He's a good guy. I didn't want to read this on the air to him, but I got a text from Ashley. 3:10 yesterday. Mike Frieda confirmed tomorrow at 7 a.m. Wouldn't mention this while he's on the air, LOL, but he called me back when I was in the shower. I stepped out to take the call and was naked. Weird experience, LOL.
It was very weird talking to somebody that important, like dripping wet in my bathroom.
Oh, like your boyfriend's bosses.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Those folks.
Yeah.
Jeez.
At least you washed your body.
Why does this always happen to me?
I don't know.
I feel like you might be an exhibitionist.
Maybe take your showers at night when no one's calling.
Yes. Maybe take a shower at a time when people are not trying to reach you.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
There's a thought.
The fancy struck me.
Hold it. No. What happened? Why were you in the shower at 3?
She turned around, she smelled her own armpit, and she was like, ooh, I got to jump in now.
Like someone's having
pretty accurate.
There's some onion soup around here.
Yeah, is that what happened? Or okay.
She was stretching. She was yawning.
Took a little afternoon break.
Ooh, I smell. What smells in here?
I could hear her red face.
Yep.
All right. So this may be the first dog to test positive for the coronavirus. North Carolina family's pug may be the first dog in the U.S. to test positive for coronavirus. The McLean family found out their dog, Winston.
McLean!
Hand me my scotch and cigar.
Tested positive for the virus. This is after they participated in a Duke University study about COVID-19 aimed at trying to find potential treatments and vaccines. Because 3 of their family members were infected. They've recovered, but the test happened. And then the dog tested positive.
Oh.
Here's Heather McLean describing the symptoms that Winston had.
He was very gaggy, and there was one day he didn't really want to eat his breakfast. And if you know pugs, they really love to eat. So that seemed very unusual. This has been very stressful, and we're feeling very grateful we made it through.
How do you tell the pug, though? They breathe weird to begin with.
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
You know your pug well enough after living with it.
They always sound like that.
Maybe it sounded normal.
They sound like they need a tune-up. Yeah, right? It's like...
It's like, I can breathe, I can
breathe. Something's wrong.
Don't fix this. He actually slept through the night and hearing.
That's true. They always sound
really loud. Yeah, like they ran to a building. Like
they ran right into a wall.
Exactly. And then their breath like.
How does that happen? They weren't born like that, right?
I couldn't tell you.
They were born like that. But, I mean, at the beginning of this breed.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Something happened. A dog got his face smashed in, and then they all came out like that.
Right.
You know in the Saturday morning cartoons when you saw somebody hit somebody else in the face with a frying pan and got flat for a couple of seconds? That's what I think of.
Bong!
Right. Yeah. The dog's name was Pang.
It just never popped back out.
Pang.
Pang.
Come here, Pang.
Pang.
All right, so here's the CDC.
Veterinarians and medical professionals in general don't really know what to make of Winston's case. There's not enough information out there for us to determine if this is something significant or not.
Okay.
Right.
Do we need the CDC to tell us that?
No. Well, it sounds official.
They're just saying relax. Okay. We don't know. There's not enough here. It's one dog. Who knows? It could be a false positive. We don't know. Let's bring on the dog lady, Michelle Douglas, with the Refined Canine. Hey there.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. So first thing is, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that I agree that it's one dog, and there have been a lot of people sick that have dogs. The thing that I took out of that article about Winston is that they mentioned that Winston sleeps in the bed with mom and cleans all their dinner plates at night, licks them off. So they're sharing a lot of cells back and forth there.
Yeah.
So if you have coronavirus, don't let your dog lick your friggin' plates.
Or sleep with you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little separation.
I ran it by a veterinarian friend of mine last night, and she said don't make out with your dog if you're sick. Pretty much is the takeaway.
I think you're pretty sick if you make out with your dog. So,
all right.
I guess they recommend, like the CDC and the ABMA recommend, that if you do get sick, then see if you can have somebody else take care of your dog for a couple of weeks, so you kind of socially distance yourself from them.
Oh, wow.
But it's really just because there seems to be a potential that they could contract the virus, but they don't get really sick from it. And there, so far, they say there has been no evidence of transmission from a pet back to a human.
Okay.
But that's all I know. I'm not a vet.
That's probably why, you know, she was letting the dog lick the plates and sleep with her, because everyone was saying pets can't get it.
Yeah. Well, surprise.
Yeah.
Well, coronaviruses in general are a thing for pets. There's the vaccines that they get every year. One or two of those diseases in their annual vaccines are coronaviruses.
Really?
So
I can't wait to get the vaccine.
But it's not this virus.
Oh, strain.
This
okay.
virus is new.
Gotcha. Okay. Just checking.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
A vet appointment.
And dogs are loving all this now, right? Because everybody's home. And they get the
play. Oh, my goodness.
All the time.
And that's my big worry, is that once we all go back to work, we're going to see a lot of separation anxiety. I think that there are some things that people can actually do to help prevent that. I don't know that anybody's doing it or will do it, but they need to kind of still practice leaving the house and go for a ride around the block or a walk sometimes without your dog, so that they could get used to you not being there in little bits at a time.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah. Wean them off.
Because if not, what'll happen? They'll chew the hell out of everything, right?
Right.
When they're not home, knock
smoking,
stuff over, crap all over the place.
Right. Alcohol.
Open up the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Drugs.
Finish off the beer.
Exactly right. Stuff like that. Take the car out without telling you.
Yeah. The signs of separation anxiety vary from dog to dog, and they can be anything from, you know, chewing on the door frame a little bit to actually going through a door or going through the windows. I've seen cases where dogs have actually escaped from their houses trying to get out.
What about chewing on themselves? Because I have a friend of mine, their dog, since they've been home, has now been chewing their own leg.
Yeah, they don't know what to make of the whole change in routine. Dogs in general don't do well with changes in routine. They some do, but a lot of them will. There's something's different, so they're worried about it.
That's same with AJ too. When we came here in 2003, he chewed his leg for 3 months.
I did. Thank God you stopped with the sour apple.
I believe it.
He put the sour apple on.
I had to put the sour apple on.
Yep. Wasn't he bandaged up?
Yeah. I think that some licking behavior can be a sign of stress, and it's probably because they're just confused about what's going on. Sometimes they can, if they notice that you pay more attention to them when they do that, then they'll do that to get your attention.
Look at me, mommy. Look at me. Uh-huh. Mm. A little con artist.
So you should act like the whole house isn't in shambles. You walk in, everything's chairs. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so what? Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes they call that the jolly routine, actually.
And all right, so this is so you're going to get busy when we all get back to work, right? Yeah. People will be calling and saying, I don't know what to do. And you'll be saying, well, bring them over here. And
the
we'll
dog's on the roof again.
Help them out.
Well, I hope that people will call trainers and behavior consultants for help, because my fear is that a lot of people are getting dogs now, and then they're all going to go back to work, and these dogs are going to have these behavior problems, but they're not going to be able to afford the help. I'm working with some of my clients to try and set up sort of like a fund to help people pay for that, because just call somebody, get some help. Don't just return them to the shelters. That's my fear. Is that
you'll have
a
better. You'll
end up back in the
that's
shelters.
A good point. Yeah. Don't send them back to the shelters.
Yeah, so I hadn't even really considered all
I'll
that. That's
one.
A really good point.
Yeah,
good dogs go bad.
All right. Well, you might have a hard time getting funds now, but when people get back to work and we don't need masks, I think that, let's talk about it again.
Yep.
RefineK9.com. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 95.9TheFox.com. Right. Michelle, what is the weirdest thing someone's asked you to train a dog to do?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to give you a challenge.
Oh.
Okay.
I would like you to train a dog to operate a lawnmower.
Nice.
Like wouldn't that be the funniest thing? You're driving down the road and you see a dog on its hind legs pushing a lawnmower.
I want to see him playing
and
poker.
And sunglasses and a hat.
Yeah. I can think of the steps to do this. It will be a challenge to get a dog big enough to a motorized lawnmower. Of course, would be easier because if start to push it, it'll go.
Yeah, because the
pull
start.
I think maybe one of the old fashioned kind of the little wheel lawnmower might be an easier thing to do.
Self propelled. Yeah. The push mower. Yeah.
Right. It'll be going after cats with that one.
Exactly. Right. You can tell where fluffy went.
All right. Good visual. All right, Michelle Douglas. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Yeah. It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Hello.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews at chazandajinthemorning.com. Mayor broke her own stay-at-home order to go get her nails done.
I'll get it.
We have a news report, right? So we'll just start with there, then we'll fill in the blanks.
New tonight, the state has launched an investigation into the nail bar in Beaumont following a visit from Mayor Becky Ames. 12 News reporter Victoria.
Who launched the news investigation?
From Beaumont.
From Beaumont. Becky Ames.
The town?
Mayor Becky Ames.
No, but someone launched an investigation.
State has launched an investigation.
The state.
The state. The state. The state. There and them in the Beaumont.
The whole state.
In the Beaumont.
Does the state have more important things to do?
Apparently not. They want to nail her.
Mayor Becky Ames.
Ames to do what? Ames get her nails done.
This is from Mayor Becky Ames. 12 News reporter.
She does.
She says it weird.
Like she's about to pull out 2 6 guns.
Right.
Becky Ames.
Becky Ames what?
Woo!
Aim your face.
This here is Mayor Becky Ames. Woo!
12 News reporter Victoria DeLeon has more on what prompted this investigation.
A spokesperson for the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation.
Do we need a report on this or do we want to guess? Hmm. What, started this, what was the reason to begin this investigation? I don't know. She went to a nail salon.
Right. Someone saw her and complained.
Right. They say,
maybe there's a picture.
Your nails
are she ended up on Instagram, I think.
She walked out with pedicure slippers.
Mayor Becky Ames.
A spokesperson for the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation tells us the agency received at least 3 formal complaints before opening a case against the nail bar in Beaumont. If the investigator finds that a violation of the governor's order has occurred, their findings will be sent to a prosecutor with the TDLR Enforcement Division.
Wait, I thought it was her own stay-at-home order.
I don't know.
No, it looks like the state's stay-at-home order.
Yes.
It's even worse.
Out there in the Beaumont, where Becky Ames get her nails done.
Mayor Becky Ames.
Mayor Becky Ames get her nails done. Get her nails done. I got a cold.
Get my digits done.
That's what AJ should do for 24 hours. Something with his toes.
What?
Like a toe play, a performance of AJ's toes.
Toe puppets?
They perform Hamlet.
And what, have like people like pay me to stop?
Yeah, I haven't worked that out yet.
They perform Toe-thello.
Yeah.
Toe-thello.
Well done. I tune in.
Governor Greg Abbott issued an order closing nail salons on April 2nd. Jefferson County issued their order on March 21st. The license holder can face a fine up to $1,000. The owner of the nail salon told 12 News that surveillance video shows that the mayor didn't have her nails done. Instead, the owner left a bowl of solution out for her to remove her nails. Mayor Ames issued an apology statement.
Not better.
Okay, well, that's different.
Just removing your nails. Gotcha.
How much did this cost the state?
A lot.
As people were dying of coronavirus.
Exactly. Oh, thank God you got the acrylic off. That's good.
Well, we had our whole team of crack investigators look into it. Turned out she wasn't getting her nails done. She was getting them
undone.
Yeah, one of the guys actually took a taste test of the solution.
We've reviewed the footage frame by frame.
Now, it wasn't the footage. It was her nails on her fingers. The footage is different.
Wow.
Yeah, someone had to do this. Someone had to sit there and take this seriously.
Probably surveillance.
Yeah.
They probably got surveillance in like vans and whatnot and helicopters and SWAT teams.
Ashley, can you look up the what's happening there? Is that the helicopter or...
Yeah,
I thought she was leaving barefoot from the salon.
No, there'll be bad heels, yeah. But no, she'd actually had, like, helicopters and, like, you know, guys in vans and snipers just watching, surveilling the nail shop in Belmont.
Beaumont. Can you look up the population? I think that's relatively small, but not so small where you think they, you know.
I'm going to say 1,117 people.
Want an investigation.
1,117.
I'm going to say 18 to 20,000.
Out there in the Beaumont.
Yeah, I'd guess around there. Maybe 12.
I'm going to say two people.
What's the number?
Population of Beaumont in Texas, 118,428
people.
Seems
like a lot of people to be launched.
All right, so it's close.
we got stuff to do.
Yeah. That sounds smart.
Oh, it's a legit city. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Legit, huh? Yeah. They got themselves a Burger
Investigation.
King. And they got two
Can't
traffic
you
lights.
Just call the mayor and say, were you in a nail salon? Can you not do that again, please?
Exactly right.
And then the mayor apologizes. And then you really have to have an investigation.
Like a Santa Claus coming to town. Sir, you're breaking your own law. I've been bamboozled.
What could will you be watching during this coronavirus lockdown?
Yes.
I've been doing nothing but eating, drinking, watching TV, and some other things.
In that order,
Jennifer.
Yes.
You spent some time in the yard. I saw the garage workout.
Oh, yeah.
And the fire. The fire.
That's right. Fire outside stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. But yesterday was Tuesday. I was already asking Jennifer what she wants to eat this weekend. Where do we want to go?
Right.
You know? So
preoccupation now.
Yeah. Lots of other stuff at the house that I don't want to talk about, but let's just say I'm glad I got fixed or I'd have 1,000 little kids right now.
Okay.
So,
what could it be?
I'd have my own little town.
Gotcha. Chazville.
Let's talk to Joe Meyer, movie critic. He suggested some stuff to watch, and we'll start with the TV shows. Last time, and I started watching Mindhunter. It is really amazing. It is so well written.
Isn't that a great show?
Oh, it is so great. How much of that is real?
Well, I think most of it is. I think they did a lot of research, you know, and all of the serial killers that the actors interview, you know, in the drama are based on real guys. So I think David Fincher did a lot of research, you know, when I read about it, everyone praised it for that reason, that he didn't, you know, goose it up with any kind of crazy stuff.
Holden is based on John Douglas, who actually started this whole serial killer profile.
Yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
This is before they even called them serial killers. AJ.
Right.
They called
them
sequential.
Right.
They came up with the word sequential.
Crazy guys, yeah. Who kill people, yes.
Yeah.
Word here, serial.
We saw the Manson. So we're a season and a half, almost all the way through both seasons. And,
good. Yeah. I'm hoping they do a third one. There's some question as to whether or not they will do a third one.
Really?
I really hope they do.
Oh, I don't know how they would.
Fincher apparently, you know, he's a busy director, and there's some question of scheduling, you know, and I'm sure with coronavirus that throws a monkey wrench in.
Yeah,
I really hope
a little bit.
I could watch 5 seasons of that easily.
Me too. One after another. Couldn't stop. And we've had some of the people who have done some FBI profiling, and it's just fascinating.
But it's true. a fascinating topic.
Yeah. They had the Manson guy last night, and you would swear to God that it was Charles Manson. That guy was brilliant. Brilliant. Didn't overplay it.
He was maybe the creepiest. Yeah, but he was great.
He said, what acting?
Great guy.
Yeah. What else was recommended last week? Have you watched anything, AJ?
Just Tiger King. That's it so far, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 episodes of Tiger King.
Right.
AJ's been busy doing his toes.
Exactly right.
Phil?
I've been watching...
That's one I haven't watched.
I've been watching a little less and playing a lot of video games, actually.
Ashley, have you been watching anything?
Yeah. Eric wanted to start the Netflix series Dracula with Claes Bang. Yeah. And we only watched the first episode, and I don't like creepy stuff, and it was intense for
creepy.
Me. So, yeah, it was creepy. So I made him watch a full romantic comedy movie with me before we went to bed because I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Poor thing.
Which one did you watch?
He's just not that into you.
Oh, God.
That's great. They all end up finding their own happy ending in a different way.
See, the movie critic is laughing at you. You don't get that part?
Yeah. No, I'm laughing.
That's true.
No, because... I remember Justin Long was in that, and I've met him a few times. He's from Fairfield, so I kind of like that movie.
Oh, you met Justin Long?
He's the dude one with, what's her name, with
Drew Barrymore,
yeah.
He was the Mac guy.
No longer, but he's a great guy, and he is a local.
Yeah, we've had him on the show. Great people.
Yep.
That's awesome. On your recommendation, I think we brought this up last week, or maybe Scott Haney did, S Creek.
Yes. Yeah. Did you like that?
I felt, because I was a big Arrested Development fan, I felt like I was watching Arrested Development.
What I found with that show, it took, you know, because friends kept recommending it. I watched one episode and I wasn't crazy about it, but they said watch three or four, and they were right. I slowly got hooked on it.
Gotcha. Because I got two in, and I thought, I feel like I've already seen this series.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Not that it's not funny and well written.
But you feel you've been there before?
So this family lost all their wealth, and I mean it was sick, stupid wealth.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere, as a joke, the dad, as a birthday present, bought a town. And it was the only thing the feds didn't take. And it was this town called S Creek. And it's not S, it's the whole.
Yeah.
So they end up going there and they live in this crappy hotel. And one of the, I don't know if that son is gay or whatever, but he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's definitely not someone who can survive in this kind of
environment. Yeah, not his thing. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
when he's got to go through his closet and pick the clothing, it's one of my favorite scenes, like early scenes.
Right.
So good.
Well, and the joke, too, with the mom played by Catherine O'Hara.
She's excellent.
And she apparently brought 800 wigs with her because she appears in like a different wig on each episode. So one of the jokes is, how did they get all of that clothing into those two little motel rooms?
Right. Someone's paying attention.
Exactly.
All right. So you'd recommend that. How many seasons are they in?
Six seasons on Pop.
Wow.
They just finished the run, but that you can watch five seasons on Netflix.
Gotcha.
Netflix is a little behind.
I see you have Don't F With Cats here.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Chaz watched it. He said, don't watch it.
Yeah.
He said, you get to the end and they guilt trip you and you leave the show angry. Liked it?
I found it compulsively watchable because, the whole thing of these internet nerds and the way they do this detective work of figuring out where this guy is. Early in the quarantine, I started watching it on the recommendation of a friend, and I actually watched all 4 hours in that one night. I was like addicted to it.
Give us a short paragraph on what this show is about.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good thing. So it's exactly that.
So you're like, tracking.
But it's a group of people who don't work together. Like, it's just an internet sort of community that came together.
It's a Facebook group. They've noticed that on YouTube there is a video of a guy torturing cats, okay? And they're furious about it. And they decide they're going to find out who this guy is and where he is.
This is real.
Do they beat it with bats?
It's a documentary.
So it's.
You should watch this, AJ.
It's amazing, though.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's why Young Chaz made the recommendation not to watch it, because you're so on the side of like the people that are tracking this guy down for so long, and then at the end you're like. They sort of try to show you the other side. It's like, it's too late already. Like, I don't care.
I want this person dead. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah, exactly.
I was fascinated by how they were able to use their internet skills to figure out where the guy was. And then it gets creepy because most people who torture cats do move on to torturing people. And that's exactly what this guy does.
Yeah, right. Phil started with this hamster, now he kills geese.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They helped the cops find him. So I found it satisfying that they won, you know, from their looking at their computers at night. These individuals come together and catch a crook.
Now you're making me want to watch it.
Like the Goonies of the internet, yes.
But I'm going to be angry at the end, right?
The sleuthing part is fascinating.
Yeah, I wasn't angry. I was glad that it showed that they were able to use their internet skills to find this guy. So I found it satisfying.
No, but don't at the end they say something like, this is all you're part of this. Like, this is
it indicts the internet in a way in saying that we all have a tendency to look at these freaky videos, you know, and kind of encourage some bad behavior. But I think that's true. You know, I myself go down these rabbit holes where I watch these ridiculous things of people fighting in fast food restaurants, you know, and being bad on airplanes. So I think we all have that tendency, you know. But in this case, they use that for good, catching a crook.
Yeah, unless they beat him at the end, I don't want to watch it.
Nah.
They do beat him at the they get him.
They beat him up?
No, they don't beat him up.
AJ's talking about causing injury.
AJ's not going to
watch. And I want blood.
You want blood. Yeah.
I want blood, yeah.
That sounds like a good show. I'd follow AJ tracking down a kitty herder.
Yep.
And just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, then my getting arrested.
I could not stop watching it. I got to tell you, I watched all 4 hours like in one night.
Also, then we'll take a break and talk about some movies. The Crown. You have The Crown here. Jennifer and I, it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I like that show a lot.
Very well written.
You watched The Crown?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's about the royals.
Yeah, yeah.
But it starts with Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
Starts with her father.
Yeah.
And then her father dies.
So it goes way back.
Yeah, and she becomes queen at a real early age. Winston Churchill's played by John Lithgow.
Yep. Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Wow.
And
classy show.
Yeah, it's well written. It moves fast. Huh. And she's like a royal watcher.
Yeah.
And the show's well written, very dramatic, well lit. Like everything is done.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I know you love juicy or like dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it dry? So,
wow. That's interesting. I watched
Mom. It's not a comedy. It would be, tell you that. Very juicy.
That's interesting. I watch Mom.
The person who plays Queen Elizabeth and the person who plays Prince Philip are perfectly cast. And
really?
Prince Philip plays that role, the perfect royal snob. It's great.
Do they have him driving?
Oh, you just want to punch him in the face.
Oh, right now. He's royal snout.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Joe Myers, movie critic, is on. We're linked up to him at Joe's View on Instagram and Twitter. Joe's View. This is good stuff. We were talking TV, and now we're going to move on to movies. It's funny because nothing's being released now for obvious reasons.
I know. Yeah. Although some of these things, you know, like recent movies like The Invisible Man and stuff, you can rent for like $20, which I think is kind of a ripoff. So I'm sticking to the streaming shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I was looking forward to that James Bond movie.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
October now, isn't it? October release?
They moved it to the fall, yeah. But the good news is Amazon has put up nearly all of the old Bond movies. So whether you like Roger Moore or Craig or Connery or Brosnan, they're all up there.
I loved them all when they were coming out, but I watch them now, I'm like, ugh.
Some are cheesy, the technology.
Some are not good. You're right.
I didn't think I was going to like Daniel Craig, and I love it because it's, you know, they explored the character more.
Yeah,
I think
he fit nicely. He really did, yeah.
Couple of things.
I think Casino Royale is one of the best ones in the whole series. I thought he was great.
Agreed.
You know which one is fun? Live and Let Die. Watch that one.
Yes, it is. And the stuff in Harlem in the 70s, it's almost like a blaxploitation film where they show you that Harlem drug lord or whatever.
That's totally AJ's alley, anything from the 70s.
Well, you got the Southern sheriff that's trying to get James Bond. It's hilarious.
Absolutely.
I think we discussed this last time. Yeah. So before, because I'm running late here, a couple of things on Netflix, then we'll get your take on what we should watch in terms of movies. Extraction and Spencer.
Spencer just debuted. I have not seen that yet. I love the books it's based on. There was a series years ago with Robert Urich, I think, on ABC on those books.
Oh, really?
It's
so
a
it's
new
the same
series
thing.
With Mark
Spencer
Wahlberg.
For Hire?
It's the same character, the Boston detective. Yep.
Okay. Oh, so it's a series. It's not a movie.
I think they plan to make a series of movies, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
It's Mark Wahlberg. He bought the rights to the books.
And then Extraction.
I haven't watched.
Dental.
This has been annoying me because when you go on Netflix, it's that top movie that automatically plays the trailer.
Right.
And it tries to get you hooked.
Drives me bananas because I don't want to watch it.
You try to extract the computer.
So I was wondering what you thought of that. What movies would you recommend we watch?
Well, there's a movie on Amazon that got lost in the shuffle last year called Honey Boy. It's with, you know, Shia LaBeouf, who I know is a very troubled young guy. This is kind of his comeback vehicle. He wrote this movie, and he plays the role of his own father. It's a sort of a biodrama about his experiences as a child actor in Hollywood when he was very young, and his dad was his guardian on the set. It's a really fascinating look at the lives of child actors in Hollywood. You know, when I heard about it, I thought, Shia LaBeouf, you know, oh, God, such a troubled guy. He Shia came LaBeouf. Through. He wrote LaBeouf or however
it's
you
Shia
say
LaBeouf.
It.
It's LaBeouf. It's LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Like I like LaBeouf better. LaBeouf.
But I like watching banged up actors because they usually do a very good job.
Yeah.
And he plays his dad, and apparently they had a very troubled relationship. He's not a sympathetic character, and I can't remember the name of the boy he found to play himself, but terrific child actor. And it really shows you, like, you wouldn't want to have your kid be in movies. You know, the atmosphere they're exposed to, the pressure of it is really awful. You know, and you can see kind of how he became what he became in terms of his behavior and drugs and all of that other stuff. Yeah, it's a really good little movie.
I'm going to watch
it. It's a shame it didn't get more attention because it's a really good movie. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Jazz and AJ News.
Okay, let's have a little community meeting right now.
Okay.
This all started with someone I know walked into a store called On the Mend Medical Supplies and Equipment in Southbury. She saw that there was a 4-pack of Lysol wipes for
$85. $85.
Yeah, and she went bananas.
It sounds
pretty expensive.
Individual canister, $22. So she posted this picture on our Chaz and AJ Facebook wall.
Mm-hmm.
This led it to go bananas. On her Facebook page, it was shared like 300 times. Anyway, you know how it goes. Everyone goes bananas, right?
Yes, right.
So this guy, one of the owners, Liam O'Keefe, posted this video, and it referenced our show.
It's on the Chaz and AJ site. Chaz and AJ, my name's Liam O'Keefe. I own On the Mend Medical Supplies and Equipment. I will come on your radio show. I will show you every invoice. I will show you that I paid $16 for the Lysol can, $9.50 for the 3M mask. I mean, guys, this is about supplying people that can't get things. These are about people like Ridgefield Crossing and the Ridgefield B&A that are dealing with COVID directly and need people like me to find them stuff because otherwise they're out of business.
All right. So Liam O'Keefe, owner of On the Mend Medical Supplies and Equipment in Southbury, on the phone now. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How are we doing today?
Good.
All right.
All right. Good. So what's going on?
So listen, you know, this started a couple, you know, 7 weeks ago. The world went upside down with COVID. I had some requests from Somers Manor, RVNA Health, to find supplies. I, you know, originally, before it really got crazy, I had bought masks. I had donated some to Somers Manor because they had a breakout that they thought was corona, but it ended up being just a regular flu.
No, but let's get to why the hell are these so expensive?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. So listen. Here's the thing. I am not buying from Lysol. I am not buying from Clorox. The only people you can get supplies from, like, you know, I deal with McKesson, Medline. They're all out of stock. So I went to my network when people asked me to find stuff. And this is all directed. This started.
When you say network, what does that mean, network? Is that black market?
So LinkedIn, I went to people that I network with to find masks, you know, and a guy that knew a guy in Linden, New Jersey. He said he had masks, and it ended up leading me into this whole wholesale network of people in not just medical supplies, but they network everything. A lot of them sell their wholesale brokers, and they sell online. So therefore, the guy called.
This is a long answer, but the question is, why is everything so expensive?
Because the supply and demand. Listen, I have shown our invoices to the Attorney General's office, to the FBI.
So you've been investigated.
We have been totally investigated. I talked to Kaylee Ribeiro.
How many times have you been investigated?
So every time they can there's a complaint, like there was three yesterday, they send me an email. I send it to the FBI agent in New Haven. I spoke to Kaylee Ribeiro yesterday from the Attorney General's office. She applauded us for only marking things up 25-30%, and
is that a normal markup for your business?
No, my normal business, we're 50-70% on hospital beds, wheelchairs. That's what I normally sell. So we went out and got it, and we found people that had masks, and that's how it started. And all of this stuff that we post.
So you're saying you paid a high price?
I paid $16 for the Lysol sprays
that are 22,
right?
No, $17 for the ones that are 22, $16 for the ones that are 20. And this is all documented.
$17 for the 22.
Yep. Okay. So our margins are small. I also go to Jersey, Brooklyn, Muncie. I mean, there's days that I go from Muncie to Linden, New Jersey, to Canarsie, Brooklyn.
So you're driving all over. You're driving personally?
I'm personally driving because it's COD. You got to count everything on the loading dock. You got to make sure all the math is correct. You got to make sure the certificates are there for mass. You got to do tests to make sure that the masks are legitimate. You know,
you do tests yourself.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a lighter test and there's a water test for mass as far as surgical mass.
And you're doing all this.
Yeah. If you put a mask on and you can blow out a lighter, it's not good. It's not good enough. Like so. Okay. So therefore, these are all things that I do. I count. I pay COD on the spot.
See, AJ's completely on your side. AJ hates Facebook people.
I do.
In this whole thing, I will tell you this. I'm the only Irish guy at a Jewish flea market.
Gotcha.
You know, the prices are prices.
What does that mean?
So it's a, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people. A lot of these people are Hasidic or Orthodox Jewish guys. They're great businessmen. They're smart people. But my price is my price. If you tell me you have 2,000 masks at $9.50, 3M masks, and they check out and they're certified and they're on the CDC website, which is the other thing I always check, I buy them. I turn around and I sell them for $12. But all of this.
I don't get the Jewish reference, though.
What's that?
The Jewish reference.
So a lot of the guys that I've been buying from, a lot of these wholesalers, are Jewish guys, and that's
what does that mean?
The network. So what do you mean? What does that mean?
So what does that mean? They'll give Jewish people a better deal than an Irish guy?
No. What I'm saying is, I was like this network that I got into. I don't belong to this network. I just kind of knew a guy that spoke for me. And I go down there, and that's who I'm dealing with. And that's what, you know, and the FBI knows this, the Attorney General, they've all been investigated.
Do you think something's wrong when you get investigated that many times? Or
I think the fact of the matter is, we're on social media to tell people our assisted livings because we can't handle the influx of calls. We have limited staff because we've had people out because of contact with COVID. So they, instead of them calling in and finding out what we have, our stock, our inventory changes daily based on what they get. So I'll have somebody like an awesome person like Teresa Santoro at RVNA Health. She needs lab coats. She'll call and I'll look for lab coats.
All right. Let me go through this receipt from Connoisseur Media. So we purchased some stuff from you.
Thank you.
Jersey alcohol prep pads, 200 mm-hmm. count, $420.
Friday, so wait a minute. So how many of them?
200 count and 4 boxes.
So $30 a box. Yeah. So I think on those I paid $22. It's all posted. Like I said, I've showed it. And think about that. You guys have called me. Like I have supplied every visiting nurse association, every assisted living center, power companies, cable companies. You know, I'm going to New York Port.
I think
Power
in your
Authority
video
today.
You said the cable, we wouldn't have cable or internet if it weren't for you.
Well, what I'm saying is I've helped supply them with needs so that their employees can go out there and get and work. You know, they need gloves. They need masks. So they've come to me. When people talk about my pricing, I get it. Listen, if my father walked into my store, and I'm compassionate to this, if my father walked into my store and he didn't know us, he would report us. I mean, the numbers look insane. The fact of the matter is we can't call Lysol and get 1,000 bottles of spray. They don't deal with us. We're not Costco. We're not Walmart. So we're getting them where we can get them. We're showing everybody our invoices to show that we are not gouging. And we're going along, and we've provided a lot of PPE equipment to people that need it, essential workers, garbage companies. But mostly, this all started.
I don't know how this works, but would you have to test the masks that you purchase if you were purchasing them from a credible source? Is testing them routine? Are you testing them due to where you're purchasing them?
I'm testing them because that's what's necessary. So these masks are coming in from all over. There's another thing that you have to check. You have to make sure that this stuff has gone through U.S. Customs, you know, so therefore that it's come into the country legally. So you have to check the certificate on that. Those are the things
that are. So you're buying them from like the black market, right?
No, it's not a black market. These are wholesale brokers. They're very well known in the industry. The people that I'm buying from are supplying places like White Plains Hospital,
so why
Columbia Presbyterian.
Why wouldn't the FBI investigate those people?
Well, they have. They know they're legit. Listen, we have W-9s on file.
No, but what I'm saying is they can't be spending this type of money that they're charging you for these things, right?
Think about oil and gas. Think about when the supply and demand of oil and gas, and how gas right now is $1.60.
So is Lysol charging this? Because you can go to Costco and not pay this kind of money. Hold on,
and you can get one.
Oh, that's
you know, limit. I'm delivering 400 canisters today to a power company that needs the wipes. Like, that's the issue. Sure, you can go out and get one.
All right, Liam, hold on 1 second. Someone's calling up, and
yep.
You know they're going to play counterpoint here. Let's see how this goes.
Okay.
All right. Amy from Watertown, you're on with Liam.
Good morning. How can you actually say that? I am actually a CNA, and I have to go out there. I have one mask that I got to reuse and keep in a paper bag. Okay? You are so full of malarkey. I work through two different agencies. Okay? We have to get our supplies and everything else through either Amazon or wherever we can get it. How dare you? I know exactly where you're located. You deal with Heritage Village and everybody else. You are only concerned about the almighty dollar. I swear to God, this whole thing is so ridiculous.
Amy, you don't think he's paying $17 and then making $5?
Oh, he might be, but then he's going to turn around and sell it for, like, what he said. What was it, $80-something dollars?
No, it was $17, and then he charged $22.
So it was a
four-pack that was $85.
That is horrible. Horrible.
Ma'am, we're delivering this stuff everywhere. I have 11 employees. I have two locations. Listen, I have to make a margin in order to stay open to provide this
service.
You've
got to make a profit.
Isn't that what every business is doing? Are you getting paid right now? Like, listen, we're doing the best to keep our margins low.
Yes, I am, and I'm damn proud of it.
So what I'm saying is I have to pay my employees to be here. We're working 7 days a week, and we're charged. Think about the margin that you just said. I bought it for $17.
Why
I sell it for
you 22. Come in to the nursing home that I got to come into right now, okay? You wear the same mask. You put on a gown, okay, that you have to reuse. You explain to the staff why we can't get supplies.
Listen, where do you work? What nursing home?
All right, Amy.
It does not matter.
Okay.
You know that? It does not matter.
Amy, thanks for what...
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Amy, thanks for what you're doing.
I'm sorry.
And we appreciate you calling in. And we understand your frustration.
Jazz and AJ, keep going. You guys are the best.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
All right, Liam.
I like you guys, too.
I appreciate that. And we didn't get you on here to beat you up. We just wanted to hear your side of the story.
Yeah, so that's it, guys. Listen, it's supply and demand. I am paying a lot more money. You know, like I said, the Attorney General knows this. The FBI agency, the Consumer Protection Agency, the Economic Director in Southbury we've invited in. All these people have seen our invoices. We have showed the Mount Kisco Chamber of Commerce, because I have a New York location, too.
We are
transparent, and we're supplying people that need them.
And
we've also given away a lot of masks. Like, we had a giveaway last week. I don't know what day it was. It was on Facebook. 3,000 masks in each location to healthcare workers. Like, we're doing the best we can to keep even ground. But we have to supply our assisted living and our nursing homes. I'm in Ridgefield Crossing. I'm in places like St. Joseph's Medical Center that have COVID cases, and we're bringing them supplies.
So if you're legitimately paying $17 and you're doing a lot of running around and you're charging $22, it doesn't seem like a lot to me. I don't know. I don't run a business, but it doesn't seem like a lot to make $5 off of that. But how do we know if you're buying from these sources that these invoices that you're showing everybody are real?
Well, because, like, listen, I could show it to you guys, but think about this. The state of Connecticut Attorney General, the state of New York Attorney General, and the FBI office in New Haven and White Plains have all come in. I don't think they're just looking at it and saying, hey, seems like an honest guy. They're doing their research. They've let us stay open. They've condoned it, and they've told us your case is closed. Like, that's the point of this whole thing. They have investigated us, and we're still open. We're right next door to the Southbury Police Station in Southbury. And let me tell you, I wish this would end today. And I am sympathetic to the fact that everybody's home. There's a lot of people out of work. I am sympathetic to all that. People are angry.
Well,
and
these
I
supplies
get
are life and death. And if they think you're making a profit off of a disaster, it's, you could understand why they're angry. Let me conference in Abigail in Hartford, and then we're going to give you the final word, and we're going to go. Abigail?
Sounds good, bud.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
So one of my friends has a client that usually buys her products through Liam's company or the company that he works for. And her client cannot leave her house, so Heather goes out and buys everything she needs. And Heather has said that there are certain items that her client prefers to get from Liam, but he overcharges them, and this has been going on for years. He'll charge them $100, $120, and if she goes to a grocery store instead, she finds the same exact item for $30, $40 cheaper.
Now, why would she buy it from him then?
What item is that?
I don't know directly, just because I don't work in the nursing industry, and me and Heather didn't talk about it in further detail. She was just telling me that she's always had a really hard time with that company and price gouging.
We've never had a complaint about it. The first complaints we've ever had were because of this COVID. We're fair. We go out of our way. We do free demos in homes. We volunteer for the ALS. We do free assessments for them. We are 24/7. My phone's available 24/7 for everybody. And the only reason that I did this video yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
But so if that's gouging, tell her to call me. I don't even know what you're talking about. But what we normally sell, you normally can't get in a grocery store. But I'm not sure. You'd have to give me more detail. I would be sympathetic to that situation as well. Listen, I know this. In our regular business, you can find things cheaper on Amazon. They're virtual stores, right? They're online stores. We have to hold inventory.
You have to wait forever to get stuff now.
Yep.
So we have vans on the road.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
In that video that you made, you referenced the show three times, and I think one of the times you said, I used to listen to them.
Oh, you know what? I do a lot more reading than I used to do. So, I have nothing against you guys. I think you guys are great.
Very good.
The reason I referenced you guys to begin with was because of your strength and your popularity. This thing went viral because somebody you knew put it on your site.
Yeah.
And then there was like 500 shares. Listen, we've gotten like over 50 negative reviews from people that I've never met that probably have never been in the store based on your site. Like, these are marks that are going to last forever, accusing us of gouging without any concrete evidence of what's actually happening. But no, as far as you guys, I think you're great. I used to listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
You know, they're streaming now, and to be honest with you, I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Liam, I hope if all of what you say is true and, you know, you're only charging a couple of bucks over what you're paying, people figure that out. But also, if you're doing the wrong thing, I hope people figure that one out as well. So.
Yeah, well, listen, again, the Attorney General and the FBI agency are probably two pretty good sources. I talked to them both yesterday. I've been talking to them since this started. They both said it was fine to mention that, that they have closed the cases. So they're doing – that's their job, right?
Right,
is to investigate. They've signed off on this. Kaylee Ribeiro, who's the assistant attorney general.
Yeah, no, we got all that.
Yeah.
And you've done a good job mentioning it in the video and on the air here. And, I appreciate you coming on and addressing it.
All right, guys. So. Hey, can you I hope you guys have a great day. Keep on keeping on, and thank you for your time.
All right, we got some calls coming in, so I would – keep listening if you can. We'll see what happens here.
I'm good. I'm going to go to work, guys. Thank you.
All right, this will be good. I have a plan for this. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Our buddy Boston comedian Will Noonan on the show.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Will.
All his stuff at WPLR.com, 95.9TheFox.com. So Phil gave him a little rundown of what's been happening over the last 40 minutes on the show, and Will's very interested in what's happening.
He's into the drama.
See that?
I love drama.
Yep. So this is what's going to happen here. We're going to have AJ run through what happened, and Phil's going to fact check him.
Okay.
All right.
So what happened was there was a gentleman who has a store.
Liam on the mend in Southbury.
And what happened is he was selling stuff and folks were calling him out because they were saying he was price gouging on cleaning supplies and things like that.
Lysol wipes, $22 a bottle, bought them for $17. Four-pack for $85, picture posted on Facebook. People didn't like it.
Right, and he was investigated by the FBI as well as the Attorney General. They found no issue here, so he was cleared.
Several times, store remained open.
And then we had a nurse who called and took him to task, but she might have been just kind of stressed out.
Well, she was definitely frustrated, and I think her issue was more about the lack of availability for those items for people who need them on the front line, and then, whereas this guy's making a profit off of them, selling them to folks.
And then Ashley and I had an unnecessary fight for no reason. She's a duty head.
Whoa.
True. Then we had a couple of calls supporting.
Bill.
Right. That's all that happened.
Right.
And then a couple of people called for to defend Liam.
Right.
Wow. It sounds like Phil works for this guy. If you want my opinion.
He's his mouthpiece.
Yeah, Phil's got some money invested in this. He's like, hey, this guy is doing the best he can. And, we're all just trying to make some money in this thing.
I would refute every point, but we could just stop at Phil had some money.
His car does smell like Clorox. I know that.
I've been doubling the price of my nude webcam shows. I just feel like people are lonely, and if they're attentive, that's my right.
Are you telling the price or the size?
Ashley's been giving it away for free.
Yep.
Hey.
Corporate meetings, boom. Everything. Yep.
She's been on the. Her and her boyfriend live together, and he's been working from home as well as her. And he did one of those Zoom conferences, and she took a shower, was naked, didn't know he was on a Zoom conference, thought he was on a conference call, and she walked into the room.
Yeah, boobs on the screen. That's what. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Boobs on screen.
Get her boyfriend. Right. I'm sure the Russian hackers really appreciated that. They're probably passing that around.
They're
probably passing the screenshots of that around the gulag somewhere. And they're like, oh, my God, look at this.
Yep.
The gulag.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's German, right?
Wrong country.
That is.
Borscht.
How's it going in Boston? Are you able to find cleaning supplies and masks and gloves and...
Yeah, we have a little bit of the price gouging here. Eggs are one of the things that are kind of expensive here. And they have a sign above them, just like this guy does, that say, like, it's not our fault the eggs are expensive. It's the chickens that are charging so much, Like, it's
like clucks, yeah.
So we have that. But, it's not a lot has changed. People kind of go back and forth day by day with, like, thinking they need masks or not needing masks, but it's kind of finding the new way of life up here,
Yeah, and that's a good point. It's a new way of life.
It's weird.
Yeah. So are you stuck in your apartment with your girlfriend?
Yeah, most of the time.
You guys live together now, right? It's pretty serious.
Yeah, we live together in a pretty small prison cell sized apartment. No, it's not a bad size apartment, but it's like, I think anyone, living like this these days, it's like being in prison a little bit. Like I listen to her eat breakfast every day. I'm like, I know her routines. She knows my routines. I don't know about you, Chaz, but
said,
like the
listen,
chewing.
Listen to her.
He had such a good tweet about this last night.
She's allowed to chew her?
Did he? What is
it's
this
like saying? we've been together for a couple of years, and like I never noticed anything about this. I never had a problem with it, but it's like after this quarantine, it's like she just likes to sometimes eat a tortilla chip like as she passes the cabinet, just grab a handful of chips, just eat them, just like a snack, and which is fine, and she's always done it. I've even picked up the habit myself, I don't even mind, but it's like now that it's like been quarantined for 2 months, it's like the sound of her biting into that tortilla chip. It's like someone throwing a softball through a glass window. Just reverberates through my entire body. And it's like, I know it's coming. If I hear her walking towards that part of the apartment, I'm like, she's going to get a chip. I can feel it right now. She's going to get a tortilla chip.
You start to brace for impact.
And it's like, I'm not even saying, like, I think I notice, like, sometimes when I laugh, I can see it in her eyes. She's like, I hate his laugh. I thought I liked it, but I hate it.
Wow.
Yeah, you used to go, you were out almost every night doing comedy. And what does she do?
She's a physical therapist. So we had this great, like, she was out all day. I had the apartment to myself all day, and I'd be out all night. So we'd have, like, just like a couple hours where we'd cross over.
Just enough.
Eat a meal together, talk about our days. And we're both, I mean, we're getting along pretty well, but we're both independent people. So it is definitely funny. Like, you know, we're like, can I use this section of the apartment for my Zoom call right now? Or are you using it for your Zoom call right now?
Gotcha.
Don't take a shower.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, man. It's like we're living like homesteaders or a little bit or something. Or, you know, it's like, it's people haven't lived like this in a long time.
Yeah.
And you really get to know somebody and you get to kind of figure out, you know, I'm not going to fight about these little things because it's like, it's not worth it. It's like, it really is. Remember that show Jailbirds on Netflix? They were like, when you live in a prison cell with somebody, you got to choose your battles, because if you fight about every little thing, you're stuck in there.
Yeah.
You know? It's the same thing here. At least that's what I tell myself.
Are things starting to ease up there? Are you seeing people, are businesses starting to open, or what's happening?
Yeah, it's very slight. I think up here people are pretty, at least in the city of Boston, people are, you know, we listen to the mayor. It's pretty serious and stuff. So for the most part, but you definitely see these weird, like, bumps, you know, when Trump says something like about Lysol injections, it's like people go, well, I don't believe that. That's crazy. But I'm also not going to wear a mask because, you know what I mean? It like dials everyone's serious level down a little bit and then it comes back up. So I notice like day to day, it seems like people come and go.
The people who shoot Lysol into their mouth probably should.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've been gargling with it just to be safe.
We need more room here anyway.
Thin the herd, yeah.
But yeah, I noticed we had an old folks. I live around the corner from like an old folks home, and they had a guy's 99th birthday there the other day.
Oh wow!
And they had a big sign out front. They were like, "Someone's turning 99," and I was like, you know, they should put that up tomorrow. You don't want to curse this guy. The day's not over yet. You know what I'm saying?
You also don't want a surprise party.
Yeah. don't surprise him.
Yeah, bad idea.
All right, Will. Be safe. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Right, be well down there.
You
safe,
too,
man.
Comedian Will Noonan, and we're linked up to all his stuff, WPLR.com, 95.9TheFox.com. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. No Blue Angels on the phone?
So you doing good?
Do we get them or no?
Where are they? They flying by?
Anybody see the flyover? I didn't see the flyover, but I saw a lot of video.
Oh, it's like pictures, yeah.
Yeah, the videos were great.
That's amazing.
It's inspiring when you see those things flying together. It's badass.
Yep.
It's intimidating. You don't want to be on the wrong end of that stuff ever.
No. But the cool thing is how they fly so close together.
18 inches.
Yeah. Incredible.
When they're in the diamond formation, the tip of the wing is 18 inches from the canopy of the other plane.
Exactly. So
canopy's made of glass.
That is unbelievable.
Achoo. Totally haven't seen.
I don't want to walk 18 inches away from someone.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, like, I know. Do 12 inches in front of your face, right, and then expand that out to about 18 inches and think that they're traveling at 400 miles an hour at least.
Yeah.
And they're 18 inches. That's just
unreal.
Sick.
Yeah.
It's sick.
That's precision, man.
Blue Angels is the Navy division of the demonstration flight teams. They have 6 planes, 5 Navy demonstration pilots, 1 Marine Corps demonstration pilot. It's 4 FA-18 Hornets. They fly in that formation.
Right.
And then you have 2, one's a lead and one's the other. Those are probably the whack jobs, right?
I like being the back guy.
Yeah.
The cowboys.
Well, yeah, cowboys.
Shouldn't they be 6 feet apart right now?
That's right.
Social distancing, gentlemen.
Yeah, 6 feet.
Yeah.
They go up to 700 miles per hour in some of the demonstrations.
Damn.
And the Thunderbirds, that's the Air Force, and they have this Calypso Pass, which is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. This is one jet flying normal, right? Normal meaning, you know, the bottom of the plane is pointing towards the ground.
Oh, no.
Then they have another jet right above it flying upside down.
Like canopy to canopy?
And the two tail fins are almost touching.
Oh, my God.
It's sick.
It's the inverted from Top Gun.
Yeah.
You know what the worst part is, though? The worst part would be if you're the guy who goes upside down and realize your coffee lid is loose.
Coffee lid.
Son of a, really?
I don't think they're allowed coffee up there.
Oh, man.
Look at all these pens in here.
Now, oh, right here. There's that french fry I lost. Lollipop sticks. Yep. All your cigarettes fall out of pack. Ah, son of a, I just bought that 11.25 pack.
Spare change.
Yep, exactly right.
Oh, all that stuff. Disaster.
Right.
Of all of the people in the Navy and of all of the people in the Air Force, there are only 112 people in each one of these divisions, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. And there are only 12 officers.
Wow.
Which means pilots. The rest are ground crew.
They're cool jackets.
So imagine one becoming a pilot in the Air Force is one whole big deal. Or right. Navy.
Yeah.
Highly selective.
Right. And then to get into that.
Right.
That's sick.
And then go from that to being a commercial airline pilot. So you see a 747 upside down. this is Captain speaking. Everyone, hold on to your meal for a second here. The stewardess.
Yeah, you wait until they pour all the drinks.
Right, exactly.
Captain, we have a problem in the back. We can't get one of the overhead bins open. I got it.
No problem.
We got it. Okay.
This is your captain speaking, and well, if you'll notice, all of a sudden you'll see the ground is now facing the wrong way, and those of you who are weak of heart may want to take your volume right now. Thank you.
What's the?
That's him with the intercom.
The intercom's going off. Yeah,
exactly right. He's got to click on, click off. Here we go again, and I'm off.
He said the two hardest things to do in the world. Is one, hit a major league pitch, and two, land an airplane on an aircraft carrier at night.
Do both at the same time. Really impressive.
That'd be very impressive.
As you're landing, you hit a pitch. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be something like those Top Gun satire and parody movies by the Drucker brothers,
like Hot Shots.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, they made that movie.
They didn't do that part though.
Can you imagine just trying to land a plane, period?
No.
All right, then let's go to trying to land a plane on a very small runway.
Yes.
All right, then let's try to land a jet on a moving short runway in the ocean.
Yeah.
And then let's make that at night.
Right. I cannot fly. I couldn't fly a little basswood airplane when I get caught in the tree. No, the ones you bought for 10 cents. You put it together. Right. It took you longer to put it together than you to fly it.
Had the little metal tip.
It always had that maiden
flap. The wing
flap.
Would crack if you were too stiff with it.
Yeah, the maiden flap was like, flying to the tree.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would do a loop and then hit the ground and crack.
Right. And then the wind would take it out of the tree into the neighbor's yard. It had the really nasty dog that just chewed it up.
Meanwhile, I get one of those like little helicopters you can fly around inside your house. Oh, the second it hits a wall, it's like, well, that's
it.
Broken forever.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I can't even do that for one day.
Yeah. The cat ate it.
The closest thing I had was they made a Barbie with wings, and you pushed the button on the base, and it just like lifted up slowly and did a little spiral in the air and came back down.
What was it, better devil, off not devil Barbie?
See, if you had a donut in front of you, I'd just say, eat your donut.
Yeah.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.